This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. I just had lunch the other day at Pin Chasers with Brandon Legal Group. We talked about some things we plan to do for golf tournaments in 2020. And I want to remind all of you, Brandon Legal Group remains open for your legal needs. So when you are in need of legal assistance, and remember, they are a full-service law firm. So not only do you need not ask what type of law they specialize in, you need not ask if they are still open. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. I thank them for their continuing support of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments and, of course, the Todd Wright Toddcast. They were the reason we developed the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast spinoff, the Bucks Bulletin, which talks fantasy specific to that week's Bucks game, only covering the Bucks and their opponent. It was their idea. I said I'd create it for them, and they sponsor it every season. I mentioned we were at Pin Chasers. Pin Chasers also, longtime sponsors of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, offer free bowling to all my players, in addition to gift baskets and office parties and cyber bowling parties. And they were kind enough to help me with the hosting of a birthday party for my 9-year-old friend Calvin last month. As of earlier this week, Pin Chasers was forced to close the doors. When I was there with Brandon Legal Group on Monday, we obviously had plenty of space between us for our bowling and our lunch, but it was a Monday afternoon, and it wasn't exactly busy anyway. But as of, I think it was Tuesday at 5 o'clock, Pin Chasers was forced to close all three locations. Anthony Peroni is a terrific individual. He's good for the community. He hosted the recent Drew Garabo Down to Bowl event that raised over $20,000 for Down Syndrome Association. And he's good to me. So even though Anthony said, for obvious reasons, we are suspending all our promotion and marketing until further notice, I said, Anthony, I'm just going to continue to talk about you. So yeah, they are closed. But I appreciate Pin Chasers for not only what they do for me, but for what they do for the community. And I will continue to remind you of all three Pin Chasers locations for when they are open: 4847 North Armenia, 5555 West Hillsborough, 6816 Gale Boulevard. And I look forward to taking more of my friends to Pin Chasers, at which time Pin Chasers can open to the public again. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Greg. Thanks to those of you who send emails. The last Toddcast I did was sort of at the beginning of, well, it was just reacting to the fact that all significant sports that we would watch and talk about in varying degrees of interest were not going to be active for a while. And we're not sure when that changes. So I simply said I would be here to entertain and distract you, if you wanted that, with just timeless sports arguments. The NFL pressed on, amidst some saying they shouldn't have done this. It's all just transactional. I don't think there was any harm done, and it gave an even better distraction to a lot of you and me than I could offer. Now, the free agent money eventually runs out. Teams can't continue to make moves. All the coaching moves have been made. So this also comes to an end. And now that many names have found homes, I'm recording this early afternoon on Friday, I'll talk bigger picture in the next Toddcast about more names and more teams, but I don't want to acknowledge the biggest story out there, which was the move of Tom Brady away from Bill Belichick and to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I've been playing a lot of golf. It's a suggested and recommended activity during these times for any number of reasons, and I will continue to do so. So I have not been glued to what everyone says about this, either in Boston or in Tampa. I prefer to just listen to NFL Network talk unbiasedly about it, and a few other people that I like and I feel are accountable. So let me come at this, as I like to do, from maybe a different perspective you hadn't thought about yet, and put it into one simple question. Who screwed up? Belichick or the Bucks? That's the question today. Who made the mistake? Let's start with Bill Belichick. He runs the New England Patriots. This was not Bob Kraft's call. This was Bill Belichick's call. Now, in the end, you might say, well, it was Tom Brady's call. No. Don't you get the sense that if Bill Belichick wanted Tom Brady to stay, that Tom Brady would have stayed? That Belichick would have done some other things last offseason when we were alerted to the fact that Brady can walk away at the end of this year? They had the franchise tag too. The Patriots chose to structure Brady's deal to allow him the opportunity to have no connection to the team this offseason and going forward. And they clearly did not go out of their way to woo him, to throw money at him, to put a franchise tag on him. They simply decided that he was expendable. So did Bill Belichick make a mistake? Most quarterbacks, not all, have found new homes this offseason. Again, we're talking about this early Friday afternoon on the 20th of March. Now, there are still notable names out there that Bill Belichick could bring in. Many of you don't even know who right now would be the starter in New England. We probably don't know. The name is Jared Stidham. New England may, probably does, have a plan, and I would imagine that plan was connected to Belichick feeling that Brady was expendable. And perhaps last year reinforced his thought that the one thing in sports that's undefeated, Father Time, had come. The Patriots looked bad the last month plus of the season. The defense couldn't prop them up anymore. And at times, Tom Brady looked bad. You can blame the lack of wide receivers, the lack of tight ends all you want. He didn't overcome that. And they went out. They lost the first round bye, and then they went out in the first round of the playoffs at home to an ascending and hot Tennessee team that, dare we remind you, also chose not to sign Tom Brady, despite an obvious connection with Mike Vrabel. They instead chose to give Ryan Tannehill more guaranteed money than Brady got from the Buccaneers, 62-60. But this is about Belichick. Did he screw up? By letting Tom Brady go, does he set his organization back? Or a while ago, did Bill privately think, we got to move on? He's not the quarterback he was 2 years ago, 4 years ago, let alone for the bulk of his 20 years. We've got to move this thing forward with somebody else. We're not going to go out of our way to throw money at him, to woo him, to franchise him. If he wants to play, and he wants to play elsewhere, we understand. A lot of us have wondered through these six titles, was it Belichick or was it Brady? Well, now we're going to find out. We're going to find out if Belichick screwed up. Because whether they bring in Cam or Jameis or Dalton or Carr or insert your own names, or they draft, they trade up and get Burrow, or trade up and get Tua, or trade up and get, might not even have to trade up, get, say, Love or Herbert. Or do they have in a Stidham what it turned out they had in Brady from a fourth to sixth round pick? So if Belichick didn't screw up, did the Bucks? I don't need to run down the names of household mainstream superstar quarterbacks who at the end of their playing days were in much the same situation where the organization thought, we need to move this along. It's time to make a change. Okay, so let's talk about Peyton Manning, who did leave Indy, chose Denver because John Elway, as we just saw with Joe Flacco being released a year after Elway said Flacco was just entering his prime. It's amazing. For as great of a quarterback as John Elway was, he absolutely knows zero about evaluating quarterbacks. I don't know how that's possible, but he proves it almost every year. And I need to see a lot more of Drew Locke to be convinced that Elway actually has a quarterback that can play for the next 4 or 5 years. Maybe that's why they went and got Melvin Gordon. Indianapolis didn't have the services of Peyton Manning for an entire year because of a very unique injury. And as a result of that, they were in a position to draft what they thought was a generational quarterback in Andrew Luck. So they made the choice to simply draft Luck, not worry about whether or not Peyton Manning could still play, and just move on from it. The Colts have not won a Super Bowl since they let Peyton Manning go. Peyton Manning went to two with the Denver Broncos, but it wasn't, even the year they won, remember, Peyton got benched for Brock Osweiler. And then they came back to Peyton, and then they won it over the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50. Peyton had the better year, the year they went to Super Bowl 48, and they were beaten brutally in the Super Bowl by Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll's Seattle Seahawks. I think we all agree Andrew Luck was a pretty good move for the Colts. Sure, he stepped away from the game We're not sure if he's coming back or not. He didn't deliver a Super Bowl. Ironically, he lost the Deflategate game. For those of you who are still convinced the Patriots are cheaters, the Colts lost that AFC Championship game to Tom Brady and the Pats in Deflategate. I think it was the Colts who even said, "What's with these footballs?" I think it's how it all started. But Peyton did go somewhere else and win. He chose Denver, much the way Brady chose Tampa Bay. So there is a precedent for it working. But it was less about age and more about an injury. The age contributing to the questions about the injury. Others, and insert your name here, either failed miserably or made some playoff games, but never got back to the Super Bowl. So are the Bucs getting a Super Bowl winning quarterback who can still win one? Or are they getting what's left in name only? Clearly, there were other teams that didn't think Brady was worth the money. Titans being the best example. They paid Ryan Tannehill more guaranteed than Tom Brady got. So did the Bucs screw up? Did the Bucs spend $60 million on someone who isn't that guy anymore? Who can't make the throws? Who can't play the position at the same level he did? And did you really think the Bucs were one player away? Was it all Winston's fault? I get it from an organizational standpoint. Tickets are being sold. Kind of bad optics on raising ticket prices in a time where people are losing their jobs or struggling for income. But dare I say, that's the Glazers. Had the Bucs been able to make this move even 2 years ago, it would feel different to me. 2 years ago, Brady won a Super Bowl. Last year, no playoff wins. So did the Bucs screw up? Not saying that bringing back Winston would have been the right move. No team seems to want Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback until further notice. But as Joe Bucs fan like to say, what was behind door number three? Had Brady been wooed by Belichick to stay, and the Bucs not wanted Jameis back, what else would they have done? Would they have gone harder at Rivers? Would they have bettered Tennessee's offer to Tannehill because of the Clyde Christensen connection? Many of you were fascinated with the Teddy Bridgewater thing. I never saw that as a fit. Would they have traded for Andy Dalton? Would they have simply drafted a quarterback and hit the reset button? Or done a little of both, maybe a trade for Dalton and draft a quarterback? I still think they will be drafting a quarterback. You're going to need one in 2 years, minimum. So just step back and look at it that way. Who screwed up here? Once we play the 2020 season, and maybe the 2021 season, it will be clear that someone screwed up. Belichick by letting Brady go, or the Bucs by bringing Brady in. The answer might be both. I think there's a very, very, very little chance neither is the correct answer. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. They are your full-service law firm, and they are open for business. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. And by Pin Chasers. Pin Chasers has just celebrated last year their 60th anniversary. While they are closed for business until further notice, I will continue to support Pin Chasers and my friend Anthony Peroni. And when they are open for business, I will be here to tell you about it. Three locations in the Tampa Bay area. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Pin Chasers, for all you do to entertain and raise money in our community and for your support of me, the Todd Wright Toddcast, and Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. For those of you who listen to my Toddcast and say, well, I guess you canceled your golf tournament. No. No, I haven't. And Black Diamond Ranch has my back. We are still sold out for April 25th at Black Diamond Ranch, doing what is considered a safe outdoor activity and playing in maximum groups of four. We will not gather in the clubhouse for any food and beverage or any quote party. We're just getting together to play golf. And golf courses are 6,000 yards. So that's plenty of space for the number of players that I have playing in the event. At which time things change, I will adjust accordingly. Thank you for wondering. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.